I'll give you the pure story first and then some of the embellishments.
Yeah.
ARPA was formed. They started funding research scientists in computer area. They go to a faculty member from the university and said, look, let's do some research. We'll fund you for it. Research says, buy me a computer. They buy a computer, typically a PDP-10 or something like that. If you were at the University of Utah, that machine would become an excellent graphics machine. But that's what they were doing there. At UCLA, we worked on simulation and modeling. At SRI, database. At University of Illinois, high-performance computing. So as they began to fund these research projects, these centers of excellence developed. Now they go to yet a new researcher, and they agree, we're going to fund you. And the researcher says, fine, buy me a computer, fine, I'll buy you a computer. But the researcher says, I want a computer with all the power the other guys have, the graphics, the simulation, the modeling, the database, the high performance. And ARPA reached the point and said, look, I can't afford to do all of that, A. B, at ARPA, Bob Taylor, who was running the funding for the computer research, would use one terminal to connect to one machine over long, you know, over a terminal network, another terminal over to another machine. Too many terminals, they were independent. So he realized, let's put these guys in a network. So if you want to do graphics, you log on to the graphics machine through that network. Resource sharing, again,
right,
of the applications. So the thing that drove Bob Taylor at ARPA was resource sharing.
Okay.
It was not the need to support a military network.
Okay.
What he told the people above him at DOD, you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
But it did not affect anybody below that level. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah, okay.
But it would have been reasonable to say, look, this would be great for military communications, this network, because A, it'll be less, it'll be reduction in cost for operating networks, and B, it will be resilient and redundant. So when we specified the network, so that process is, Bob Taylor needed somebody to manage this thing. And they went to my old classmate, Larry Roberts, the guy I talked about before, who was still at Lincoln Lab. He got his PhD out of the associate program as I did. They wanted him to come and work on this. Because Larry was intimately familiar with what I had done. We were literally office mates. Larry didn't want to go. And they finally convinced him to come by threatening to take funding away from the lab. So, and I remember Larry and I sitting in his Volkswagen in Lexington, Mass. In the snow. He says, Len, they want me to go and I don't want to go. Should I do it? I said, look, Larry, take a chance. If you don't like it, come back. By the way, that's exactly what Lincoln Lab said to me. When I was finished my PhD, there's no pressure to stay at Lincoln Lab. They really wanted to train people to launch them. But they're very happy and gratified if you stay at Lincoln Lab. And but they said, look, before you stay, look out there. See if there's something else you want. So I did an interview around, and long story short, UCLA offered me a position. I never knew I wanted to teach. I was looking at industrial research labs. But on the way, UCLA asked me to interview. I got this offer. Here I am in Boston with two kids now. My family's in New York and some in Boston. Coming to California was a big move.
Yeah.
And again, I was wrestling with this thing. And Lincoln Lab said, look, try it. If you don't like it, come back. Well, I did it. I like it, okay? I told the same thing to Larry.
Yeah, okay.
So he did it. He went there. And the first thing he did then is bring a bunch of us together to try to specify what the network would do. Now, one of the things we insisted on that it be was fault tolerant. And so we brought in that because we recognized these switches might fail. The lines might fail, and we want this network to be running if we're running an application. So we built in a minimum, which was what we'll call a two connected.
We're on schedule.
Okay. A two connected topology, which means if any line breaks or any switch breaks, everything else continues to work. Which means there's got to be two independent pairs between every pair of switches.
Right.
Very easy to do. And you can make it three connected if you like. But we were not doing it for military purposes at all. None of us were. It is a myth.
Right.
We designed
that's what I'm going to get at, right?
It is an absolute myth.